Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I got earbuds from Delta, sponsored by Delta. Couldn't find my usual ones, so Chris sounds low quality.
To quote John Mulaney there, because we're Delta Airlines and life is life a fucking is a nightmare.
I love that whole thing. I'm not going to name names. Let's just call them Delta Airlines. Welcome, everybody. It's the Brews and Bruins podcast. What's brewing? It's the season 5, episode 28, episode 297. We're nearing 300 episodes. Most of those have been, while we're the Hockey Podcast Network podcast and also DraftKings. Most of those have also been presented by Pride Diehards and Bruins Diehards, or PWHL Boston Diehards. Get a name.
Wicked Diehards.
Wicked. I'm here with Chris. I'm Drew. No Cam. He's fired.
Cam's fired.
Cam's got better things to do on a Friday night, I guess. Who'd have thought? I got earbuds from Delta, sponsored by Delta. Couldn't find my usual ones, so Chris sounds low quality.
To quote John Mulaney there, because we're Delta Airlines and life is life a fucking is a nightmare.
I love that whole thing. I'm not going to name names. Let's just call them Delta Airlines. let's get into some beers. Chris, you have something to surprise me with.
All right, because you didn't listen to the last episode.
Never do.
Cam wasn't super impressed by this, but that's because he wasn't familiar. But I popped over to the very closest liquor store to my house, just like straight down the street on my street. And I went in to just like check out a couple of beers because I felt like having a beer on the last podcast. It was a Saturday morning. What was it? I don't even remember what time.
No, it was like 3 days
Sunday?
Ago.
No, it was Sunday.
Was it that long ago?
Okay. Yeah, we recorded on Sunday. Because there was some football coming up. Maybe it was on Monday, because Monday was a holiday.
Yeah.
I think it was probably Monday. There was some football on that day as well. Nope, it was Sunday. Not important.
That'll all be edited out.
Just make it the cold open. So I popped down to the liquor store, just expecting to see some local brews. And lo and behold, the closest liquor store to me is a holder of Heady Topper. Cam was not familiar. So I wish I had flip-flopped this one, but they also had Focal Banger from The Alchemist as well. I love this can. I don't know if you can see it, Drew, but
yeah. It actually reminds me of what I've got going on my bottle.
Okay. It's what looks to me like an alchemist holding a can of this beer. And
does it just go on forever?
sniffing in all the hops. I mean, it does. Like, you can see as far as, I think, four of the can within a cans.
Nice.
And he's smelling the beer. And then there's, like, hops flying out of his ears. Very, very chill. Yeah, if you didn't listen to the last episode, this was from The Alchemist in Stowe, Vermont. It's not, like, impossible to find Heady Topper around here, but I wasn't expecting to find it at the literal nearest liquor store to me. There's just, they have like a little beer fridge and like a walk-in, and yeah, they had some of these guys here. So I picked them up. I have not had Focal Banger in a really long time. So we're going to give it a go. This is the single IPA, 7%, and specifically says drink from the can.
No cups around here.
Yeah, that's a banger. I mean, real hop forward, but not like a super bitter aftertaste, which is like cool and refreshing. Yeah, it doesn't like linger on your tongue like a really hop forward beer usually does. That's nice.
Nice.
But yeah, the main taste here, much like Heady Topper, is hops. It is very tasteable. Give it 32 tasteability. And I believe it's slightly more drinkable than Heady Topper. We're discussing this on the last episode that Heady Topper is the rare double IPA that does really hit really, it does hit really hard hops wise. So it's not super drinkable. This one, 27 drinkability. This is a really good beer.
Nice. I here was at Hannaford earlier doing some grocery shopping. And they got a pretty neat beer fridge. I mean, they have, you know, a lot of the local main staple breweries, and New England in general. And then, you know, your staple Bud Light, Miller Light, got to bleep Bud Light out. Yeah. So I got a, Explorer Hazy White IPA from Shipyard, and it was the face that was kind of
that is very
me.
Similar.
Yeah, he's got like a flag in the distance. I would assume that's kind of like a, I don't know, I was thinking like North Pole, but
I think North Pole is probably the idea there,
or it's like red. Yeah. Anyway, Explorer in the white IPA, I like it. It's pretty hoppy, and you know, white beers usually give me that kind of like wheat vibe. So this is like, it tastes like as if Allagash was an IPA, which is good. Yeah, I like Allagash once in a while, you know, especially when they have it on tap at a lot of places here in Maine. It's a good beer. I'm going to go drinkability. I'm going to go with a 30. Tasteability, I'm going to go with a 33.
Chara walking down Broadway. He scores! Zdeno Chara's 200th goal in the National Hockey League.
What Jack Edwards used to sound like.
oh, God.
You can bleep that if you want.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you had any knowledge of what makes a white IPA a white IPA.
I've no idea.
I feel like I've had a couple of them, and that was going to be my guess, was going to be like kind of more of a weedy beer.
Yeah, that's definitely the vibe I get from it.
Because black IPAs are kind of like, what, it's like a porter mixed with an IPA kind of vibes. I remember that used to be like a thing that a lot of breweries were doing, is like experimenting with, you know, making IPAs different colors. Yeah.
Hybrid. It's like hybrid weed strains. You got some sativa and some indica together.
Now the New England style IPA just kind of took over everywhere. Everyone's making hazies, and not that I have a problem with that. I love a real juicy beer.
Mm-hmm. Juicy beers and Chris Gear. Good episode title. Mark it down. All right, let's get into some Bruins. I watched the first period. Chris watched the third. I watched the first period. Chris watched the third period. We watched highlights. So we got you covered.
Yeah, we got the whole
especially thing. If you didn't watch the game. Yeah, Bruins beat the Colorado Avalanche. It was a painful victory because I was supposed to be there, but then I had an eye doctor's appointment here in Maine, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it for puck drop. I'll let someone else have the tickets. And now I'm seeing the St. Louis Blues on a Monday in March, and it's like, okay, would have much rather see Colorado on a Thursday night. That's all right.
Maybe there will be a key tripping call in that.
Yeah, exactly. Noel Achari comes out from the
sand. Did you catch the last Blues game?
No.
Okay, so it was an overtime win for the Bruins off of
it earlier this season?
No, this was like last week.
Okay.
I think we covered it on the last episode.
Oh, okay.
The Bruins scored an overtime winner off of a very sketchy no call on a tripping.
Yes. I remember seeing that all over. I didn't watch that game, but I saw it on Twitter during the fiasco.
So, just the history between the Blues and the Bruins now amplified with
It's all forgiven. It's all forgiven. They lose a regular season game and still get a point. And
Jordan Binnington looked like a fool, so we're all cool. Like everything's
that's
good.
Great. But yeah, that game last night, a lot of offense in that first period. I missed the first Bruins goal because it was like 30 seconds in or something like that.
45 seconds into the game. Yeah,
I tuned in with like 19 minutes to go in the first and was like,
it was a real classic David Pastrnak shift where he's just like hunting for a goal and he missed the like two more obvious seeming opportunities. And then he just kind of skates the puck to the middle of the ice and like turns around and shoots it. Georgiev was not ready for that. And it went in. I love when he does.
I like when he scores and just in general. It's great. He nabbed a hat trick with the empty netter at the end too, which is good. I feel like it's always, I don't know, when the last one's an empty netter, I always feel like it's a little bit of a, not a letdown, because you're kind of happy, like, hey, he got it. But it's also like, it's much better when it's a natural addy.
I was chatting back and forth with one of our Twitter people, Annie, and I remembered her going back and doing like the analysis during one of Pasta's hat tricks, because a couple people, including myself, had tweeted like, it really feels like when Pasta gets a hat trick, it's never with an empty net goal. And I think she went back and looked, and there were only like two out of his 15 at the time, and now he has 16, and now it's three, I guess. But that's pretty crazy. I feel like most of the time when you get a hat trick, your third goal is an empty netter. But maybe not most of the time, but like,
I don't think most of the time, just because that's like a situational thing too. Like if it's a close game and they're pulling their goalie and whatnot. Yeah. But I would say there's definitely a fair amount that are. Speaking of fair amount. I don't know. I didn't have a transition lined up.
Fair amount would have been a good ad transition.
Yeah, I know. You know
fair
what?
Amount of...
you got a fair amount of DraftKings here, everybody. Let's go to the Hockey Podcast Network Slack. And let's go to updated scripts. Has there been an updated ad read? Not yet. It's right here, folks. Get a load of this. We know hockey games move fast.
It's really a quick. Characteristic property of
hockey. Wicked quick. Fastest sport on ice, except for like luge. But with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. That's wicked fast. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Mention available lines. See, we don't mention the lines because by the time we release episodes, they're like not valid and they can change over time. So, nope.
You were just looking out for you, the listener.
You know, if you want to check out those lines, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. That's right, Ontario. No. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
And accounts and disseminations of the games that we're talking about have been expressly written, consented by the NHL, so we're good to go.
We're good. I just talked to Gary Bettman the other day, so just I check in with him every once in a while to make sure we can still talk about his league.
This is why you don't skip the ads. You want to catch some more the banter at the end of that.
Oh, did you guys talk Swayman at all? And extension?
I don't think so.
Potential.
I mean, like,
I'm wondering thoughts on and All-Star and everything with him.
No, I think we missed most of that. I think he was elected to the All-Star game maybe the day after.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, talk some Swayman.
Yeah, let's do some Sway talk. Well, first, I do want to mention before we get completely off of that game, we kind of like zipped through zipped through that hat trick. I wanted to mention the absolutely filthy pass from Jake DeBrusk on that second Pastrnak goal. Good stuff. Real good game from Jake. He also scored a goal of his own off of a tip from Paka Wadaspoon. Good stuff.
Motherfucker. That's his nickname now. What the fucker. Oh, great. That's the name of the episode. the fucking is AH in the middle, not a U.
Let's talk some Swayman. I mean, I feel like we haven't really discussed the injury issues the Bruins have had in depth, but you know, good to see that Ullmark's absolutely healthy again. But one of the things that we were talking about was, at least on Twitter, was maybe this isn't the time where you find out, like, can Swayman carry the load? I mean, good thing we didn't really have to find that out, but, you know, he's gone a couple of games in a row and acquitted himself quite well. But that's really the lone test that's left for him. I mean, I feel like at this point, he's your number one goalie. He's 1A at least, which is wild to think when, you know, you got the reigning Vezina winner as your 1B. Ullmark's still been pretty good this year. I think, like, statistically, like, his raw stats, the save percentage, goals against, those things are not wildly impressive, but he's still well above league average in those things. Some of his underlying stats are looking real good. So I'm not too worried about him, but yeah, I mean, Jeremy Swayman, it's one of those things where a little bit like Pasta last year, where, you know, he had an extension coming up and, you know, we wanted to see him play well, obviously, but every time he plays well, it drives the price up. And it seems like Jeremy Swayman's really driving his own price up, as well he should be. I mean, he's making way less money than he deserves this year. And he went to arbitration kind of knowing that that was going to be the case. But the arbitration process sounds like it absolutely sucks. And
yeah,
it's basically going to your team and talking to a bunch of guys who are going to tell you how much you suck and why you don't deserve as much money as you want. I'm obviously on the side of the players, pay them as much as they deserve, you know, figure out the cap shit later. There's reasons why players don't fit under the cap, and it's not because your good players are making too much money usually. Usually it's because you're paying shitty players too much money. And that goes all on management. I don't think this Bruins team has a lot of bad contracts, so I'm not going to complain too much. I mean, the Bruins have a lot of cap space coming up, and it's going to be hard for Don Sweeney to go, yeah, Jeremy, we really can't. We need you to take a discount here because we really can't fit you under.
Right.
They have enough money to pay Jeremy Swayman $8 million a year if he wants it, and go out and get some good free agents. So, yeah.
I don't know if like $8 million is what he's gonna get, just because I mean there's a couple guys I'd like to re-sign. I also think there are plenty of guys that are gonna be up for free agency that could either get traded at the deadline or just not be re-signed. And part of that's because of a lot of those 1 year contracts that Sweeney signed, which is good. Like I would love to maybe re-sign JVR if it's an affordable price, but like if we lose him, it's not like we gave up a second round pick at the trade deadline for him. Like we got him.
Honestly, it seems like JVR likes being here. So here being Boston, not San Diego.
Yeah. He's definitely outplaying that $1 million cap hit though. Like I could easily see four. Yeah. Like, but coming in at four, that would be great. I'd totally take him at $4 million.
Yeah. I think. Yeah, if you get him at three, that'd be real solid. I mean, he's playing top nine wing, I think, is what you would call his position. Yeah, he's played on all three of those top lines. He's consistently scoring with whoever he plays with. I mean, you mentioned the power play, like that's front of the net is exactly what his style is. He's a big dude. He can A-frame really well.
Bread and butter.
His between the legs pass, like behind the back between the legs pass to Pastrnak on that Brad Marchand power play goal last week. Just one of the underrated things about his game. Obviously you look at that goal and Marchand scores a wide open net. But everyone looks at that pass from Pastrnak going like, all right, well, everyone thinks he's going to shoot. So it's his goal. But, you know, you don't get that if JVR doesn't have the awareness to, you know, put that puck exactly where Pasta is and gather that puck in the first place. So, yeah, that's a player that, you know, you're looking to re-sign. The big free agents that have been with the team for a while, Grizzlick and Jake DeBrusk. I think Grizzlick's a guy you could let go. Or since he's having like a real down year, and let's not get this twisted, like really good player, showed up on Jay Fresh's recent best defenseman in the league fan poll. He was in the top 70, I think, somewhere. So like he's right up there with Carlo. I think Carlo was maybe two spots behind him or in front of him, I forget which. So like the perception is that he's a good player. I think he is having a really, really tough year. I hope I hope it's injuries is a weird thing to say, but you know, better than it being just a real weird off year and with no explanation.
Wasn't he out for a little bit too earlier this year? So
yeah,
could be something lingering.
Could be.
I think with Grizzlick, the thing is, it really comes down to price. Because I would totally keep Grizzlick around at like, you know, if it's going to be something that's geared towards what he's doing right now, which is
$3.5 million.
Yeah, it's like maybe a second pair defenseman, kind of with his struggles, more like a third pair at the moment.
Yeah.
and we know what he's capable of. It's like, if he can get back to that too this season, then I think that's one of those you don't see like an extension for. I think that's one they take care of in the summer and really see how it pans out. Swayman's the one where I could see it's an extension. I could also see that with DeBrusk, though I don't know if that's going to happen. I still think he's the one they're going to trade if they make a trade.
I think he's most likely to be in a package for an upgrade this year. I think mm-hmm. you kind of nailed it with, you know, if you're going to trade a guy, trade him. I mean, you don't deal somebody when they're at their minimum value. So trading Matt Grizzlick wouldn't make a lot of sense at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, he's been playing better recently too. So kind of hoping maybe he helps you out. If the plan is to sit him in the playoffs again this year, then you might as well go and trade him, even if you're going to get nothing in return. But
right.
I don't know, local kid wants to play in Boston, I assume. His dad works for the team.
Mm-hmm. Hometown discount.
It feels like the prime kind of candidate to take a hometown discount in a year where he just like didn't really deliver on his contract, even though, you know, maybe a year or two ago we were talking about his $3.8 million cap hit being a real
how
bargain.
Old is he right now?
29, 28, something like that.
30.
Okay.
Fuck, is his career's downhill from here? Once you hit 30, you know that, Chris, your life is just over.
Yeah, my life has been over for
all the
three
fun
years.
Is done. Yeah, you get engaged.
Is he married?
Really, it's over for Kat. You're good.
I think he's married, so he's yeah. good. He's yeah. he's already crossed that bridge. By the way, his wife is very fun on Instagram, Esme Bowden. Kat and I were maybe like, it was either last year or 2 years ago, just watching like the Bruins, like all the Bruins Instagram stories around Halloween. And we kept seeing just like everyone's all like at a Halloween party, like everyone's decked out in like these gorgeous, like ornate Halloween costumes. And then somebody was just in a full like Dobby costume with like I think it was like a pillowcase as a dress, basically. And we were trying to figure out who it was. And it was Matt Grizzlick's wife, because you couldn't see her head. She just had like a Dobby mask, all mm-hmm. like a realistic Dobby mask on her mm-hmm. head. And in every picture, she was just like doing weird poses and who is this absolute weirdo? We need to know who this is. And it was
Harry Potter. Give Dobby sock.
Matt Grizzlick's wife.
There was a post from Brad Marchand's wife that I responded to like a year ago. She said like mine, and it was a picture of him like fighting or something, which was dope. And I commented, as Bruins fans, can we at least have like 10% of him? And then she responded like, oh, I guess, like, sure, or something like, sure, that's fair, or something like that. And my comments, the other day, it got a like. There's some people just stalking Brad Marchand's wife Instagram, finding that post and liking my comment once a month in the past year.
Incredible like, stuff.
I completely forget about it, and then I'm reminded, I'm like, what the hell is this? Here we are, folks, and I'm way more comfortable because I put the right earbud in the right ear and I put the left earbud in the left ear, and it's just great. Thanks, Delta Airlines. Shouts, use code THPN when you get buy a ticket. Let's see what happens. Yeah, so PWHL Boston won the other night against Toronto. Which was
different. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, Drew.
Toronto? Yep. Toronto Manante. Right. Yeah, really great game. Lauren Gable with two goals, including the game winner. Alina Mueller. Mueller. I always.
I think the general pronunciation is Mueller, but if you want to be like real, if you want to be real about it, it's Mueller.
Okay. Mueller. Because I'm gonna, it's like Sean Rajat, he scores. Shout Sean, thanks for the Bruise News, and Lancey, thanks for the Bruise News. Yeah, just like they started off really fucking slow, and I think they got outshot like 10-4 in the first period, and part of that was because they're on the PK a lot, but also just Toronto kind of had them hemmed in. Like Boston would get chances, but it was right back into Boston's zone, and Toronto would have really established possession. But they held them off. Soderberg looked good in that. Really just kind of held them off that way. And then in the second, it kind of came alive. I think it was Gable scored first, which was like a sick shot looking at Mueller the entire way. And then just a really quick release, top corner. Almost nothing you can do about that as a goaltender. And then Keller scored on a one-timer, kind of from the point, kind of from the high slot. It was like in between those. I was writing an article about this, and I went with high slot. But I was like, this is like, it's like above the circles, but it's not the point. Like, I don't know what to say this is. It's just like an area of the ice.
I just say above the circle.
Well, because it was also in between the circles, like it was dead on with the goalie. And usually when you say above the circle, it's more like literally above the circle, at least when I write.
Okay. So high slot's right. I think that's high slot.
Yeah. That's kind of high just slot.
Really high slot.
Yeah. It's really high slot. I should have said that. Like from the fucking wicked highest slot you could possibly slot.
He's really, and then high slot.
Really high slot. I said it was a hockey goal a goal as old as hockey. One timer from the high slot.
Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, I'm really upset I missed this game. I was attending to other things, family in town.
Boo.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on the Lauren Gable train, obviously, for a while now, you know.
Yes. You're talking about her last season and everything.
PHF MVP. Mm-hmm. Got a little upset that they took her off of the top line for the Montreal game. I no longer know what the top line is now, because I think Mueller and Knight have been split up, so but good to see that that Lauren Gable is still playing with Elena Mueller, and you know, that's what I'm expecting from her, you know, these just awesome two goal performances. Maybe get a hat trick next time out.
Gotta step up, Lauren Gable. Let's go. Come on, slack it over here.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to Oliver about this when we have him back on. And because it does feel like the disrespect for the PHF was a little too out of hand. I mean, this is the MVP of that league. And I don't know if she feels the pressure to perform. I'm sure she doesn't, because, you know, this is the league now. But I'm feeling the pressure, and you know, I still have some of that PHF pride.
or unintended.
So I mean, that would
be a shame if they weren't the pro.
We want to see those players succeed to kind of retroactively legitimize that league, even if a lot of people don't recognize it as legitimate as it was. And I mean, I really like Lauren Gable as a person and a player, so I'm gonna absolutely keep rooting for her.
I think Mueller was just like outstanding as a player. I don't think she scored a goal yet this season, but she has like 4 assists or 5 assists now or something like that. So one of her, I think it was on the game winner to Gable, just was cutting across in the slot and just tapped it back. Like not necessarily a drop pass, but not really a hard backhanded, but just behind her back, like just knew Gable was going to be there. And then Gable cuts the front of the net and scores. And that's when I was like, holy shit, what a playmaker. Like already had, she had an assist on every goal that game, but like that was the one that was just like, that was sick. That was awesome. And yeah, I don't know if we mentioned it. Boston won 3-2. despite the kind of shitty start. So
Toronto
can't figure it out.
Yeah, the Montreal game, as Cam and I discussed, was, you know, it was a win, but, you know, kind of one of those fluky wins where, like, well, one, Marie-Philippe Poulin scored the ostensible game-winning goal, and then it got taken away, the overtime goal taken away due to goal interference that may or may not have been the correct call. And they got outshot by a lot in that game. So yeah, you saying that in the first period they were outshot by significant margin, kind of a carryover maybe of some bad stuff, but
yeah, it was really the zone possession, just like, you know, take a shot, Toronto gets it right back out, missed a lot of shots too. Toronto was just like kind of dominating, but only got a goal out of it. And I feel like that was really their opportunity to break away and score three and hold out, but Yeah, Soderberg's been good. I really thought Fracken was going to kind of just be the starter, but they've Frankel. Been 50-50. Thank you. I think they've been 50-50 so far.
I think Frankel started.
Because they've only played four.
I thought they've only played
recording.
Three.
Three. One of them got postponed. Yeah.
Frankel started each of the first two. I was going to say, one of the things I'm most impressed by in this league is just the goaltending talent. Shouts to Corinne Schroeder, who was the best goalie in the league in the PHF last year for the Pride. She's currently the best goalie in the league right now. I believe she plays for New York. Good stuff from her. I'm sad that, you know, you don't get to root for her. I mean, I still root for her, but not for the hometown team.
Fucking traitor.
Just the amount of goaltending depth that teams have. I mean, just looking at the teams that these goalies played for last year and all of the statistics, and, you know, Emma Soderberg was, you know, had like a sub two goals against and a 930 something save percentage last year with whatever SHL team she was playing for. And I mean, obviously Aaron Frankel, big time goaltender, Team USA player, like, it's good stuff. I mean, and I wasn't discouraged by either of, obviously I wasn't discouraged by the second performance, but, you know, the game against Minnesota, the opener, it's just, you know, that's a lot of shots. I mean, the Taylor Heisey is kind of proven to be one of the best shooters in the league, and got a couple past her. I'm pretty encouraged by the goaltending on this team, and I think, you know, pretty solid defensive core. Just, you know, you don't want to be on the wrong side of the shots on goal battle every night. So
are you doing anything tomorrow morning, Saturday?
I don't think so.
PWHL Boston, your time is at 9:30, my friend.
Oh, I'm
12:30 Eastern.
Thank you for letting me know what time it was, because I probably would have missed out on that. I knew they were playing tomorrow. I kind of assumed it was, you know, more afternoonish, but
yeah, I mean it is for us 12:30, but
yeah. I'm gonna wake up and I'm gonna put that on the TV.
And I think Montreal played, or was it Montreal? No, it's like New York played. No, Toronto. It's Toronto plays maybe New York or something. I only have Boston schedule up right now, so they play later in the night. But overall, it's been really, really great start for this league. And seems to be a lot of support for it too. I feel like more so than I felt in past leagues. So
yeah, the PHL really felt like or PHF felt like a real like niche thing where, like,
yeah,
you know, we had our crew of people who were watching it and it felt like a good group, but this feels like it has more general acceptance, which
whenever you're a federation, I feel like it's not great. I don't know. They, like, WWF, Now they're entertainment baby instead of a
fed. IIHF.
IAHF. That one's different. International, it's fine. If you're just at home, it's not a federation. Right? Isn't federation like a, I don't know. We'll look it up on dictionary.com or Oxford or Merriam-Webster, whatever. I wonder how Merriam and Webster are both doing. Are they alive? Are they dead? Who are they?
Federation, a group of states with a central government but independence in international affairs or internal affairs, sorry.
All right. So I guess it works, but like, I don't know. Eh. I like PWHL better. One thing I will say, and obviously it's, I don't want to say learning curve. It's more of just like you're going to be growing and maybe, I don't know. They need to post like, on their YouTube, since they don't keep the like full game up, they need to start doing game recaps themselves. Like, I hope that's something they have coming down the line. Because right now I get mine from I only really see the highlights. So against Montreal, there's a Montreal radio station that shows the highlights. So whenever Montreal plays, but it's all in French. So you know, you gotta do, instead of hearing like, oh, whoever scores, it's like, crap. All right. It's the other team, look up the number, who passed it to who, look up the number, and just saying it. But, and then there's this like one guy on YouTube that just like does random sports videos, also posts like highlight reels, like 2 minute recaps and stuff. And it's just like, if you do that yourself, you're driving more traffic. Let's go. Hey, I'll edit your game recaps. I got time on my hands. I need money. Or I'll do it for free. I just have time on my hands. I'll freaking do it. Let's go. No, but the way that you can stream it too on their YouTube is great. As someone who's not going to pay $30 a month for NESN and who has Hulu TV through my parents, so do not have NESN that way. And that's, NESN's picking up all the PWHL games, which is great, or Boston games, which is great. But
I really
like, great option to have.
I really liked the NESN broadcast at the home game. Did not care for the away game in Montreal's broadcast. Felt like the commentary was worse in like a, you know, kind of sexist way. And I didn't care for the camera angle either.
Was it different broadcasters?
Yes.
Oh, so did they just pick up the
other? I think it's just the home broadcast, yeah.
They should just pick up PWHL's broadcast, because the ones on YouTube are great. I've really liked some of those broadcasts. But that was also the one game I've missed. I saw their first game and then their game on Wednesday, so I didn't see that one against Montreal. But we got to go to a game. Well, you're not going to be out here anytime soon. I've already said we got to go to a Bruins game. So
yeah, I'll be back in the summer. We'll work it out great. Then.
We'll go to training camp. We'll go try to like solicit some players to come on.
I think it would be cool if we could get some players on. We acquitted ourselves, I think, better than we should have with getting Mallory on when she was playing with the Pride, but you got to make some new inroads.
Yeah, I think so. And also, so when I was at, before we wrap up, we did our grocery shopping at Hannaford's. Hell yeah, Hannaford's. But Julia needed some soap, and that's at Whole Foods. So we went to Whole Foods after, a whole nother grocery store experience. Already had one painful one. Like, come on. behind us in the self-checkout line, I looked behind me, and this dude looked like so much like Jeremy Swayman. I did a double take. I was like, that's not Jeremy Swayman, is it? He's not like in Portland on his way to a UMaine game or some shit. Like, I don't think he has that time right now.
Honestly, might have been my cousin. My cousin lives in Freeport, and okay. It looks a lot like Jeremy Swayman, so
maybe it was. I should meet up with him. We should have him on, and we'll do like a live stream, and he can just pretend to be Jeremy Swayman. All right, or maybe not. I thought that was a good idea. See, that was a serious idea. It was
a serious idea. Well, I didn't take it seriously, so.
Oh, good, because it wasn't joking around. You never know what I'm gonna say next. little, I won't say it. I don't want to go and bleep it out later.
The only thing we bleep.
You got anything else you wanna add? Can always email me later. That's what I say to everyone I interview. If they have something else they want to add, they can email me. So you can email me if you want. brewsandbruins@gmail.com. Email us, folks. Do we check that? Yeah, I'm like half in it on my phone. So when we get, it's mostly DF sending Cam random logos. I was watching on YouTube last night in the live stream, and then, you know, I was commenting here and there. Comment section is really great on those games. And DF suddenly appeared, and I was like, "Hey, DF!" Like,
a wild hey, DF appeared.
I was like, I can't wait for these teams to have logos so you and Cam can send them back and forth.
We do need to have DF back on. I feel like I followed up with them during the off season about doing one of our player reviews,
and then we just like of them.
We never we just didn't follow through with any of that.
It was a great idea, and then we were still doing them as the season started. The season started, and then we posted our last
one. The idea was to do a couple sessions where we just knocked mm-hmm. all of them out.
Yeah,
and we ended up doing like maybe three each in like two sessions, and then just
and then just stopped. Whatever, we gotta do that. Either way, we gotta have DF on. We gotta have Oliver on to talk some PWHL Boston. For having Oliver on, I've been kind of like, let's get a couple games into the season, because he's the kind of one to just give you the analysis, and I don't want that analysis on a couple games. I want a good sample size for him to give us some takes with. So next couple weeks, maybe. If you have an idea for a high profile guest, at them on Twitter along with us.
Yeah, just add us both. Who do we want this weekend?
Rob McElhinney. We'll talk some Wrexham.
That'd be a good one, yeah. I don't know. About how Always Sunny's never won an Emmy, maybe even never been nominated.
And we can talk about how it's gradually gotten worse as times have changed, and their line for comedy has adjusted, and now I don't know what to do with it.
I haven't watched since I think 2015. So
yeah,
and the last season I watched was the one where Dennis and Mac moved to the suburbs, and there's maybe it's the one with the boat too, like that season, or with the implication. Okay.
Yeah. No, I think that's probably around where I stopped too. It's a very good show, but it's like watching the old stuff. Like when I watch The Office and I'm like, they couldn't do that now, but like it's still like the stuff they used to do, you cannot freaking get away with now.
Season one, episode one.
Yeah.
The N-word.
Yeah, exactly. Give it 10 more years and they'll be editing scenes out of those shows, I guess.
Yeah.
But watch them while you can. Always Sunny, sponsored by Rob McElhinney and Wrexham. Welcome to Wrexham's a good show, too. I got to watch season two.
I haven't watched it.
I would check it out. It's kind of good. Like, part of it, not to drag this episode on, but part of it is like,
I got nowhere to be.
Part of it's like Rob McElhinney and Ryan Reynolds, like, trying to be funny and sometimes succeeding. And then it's like also suddenly they'll throw you into like great action of a soccer game, and then they'll throw you some emotional stuff. Like they follow this guy that owns a pub in town. They follow some of these diehard fans. They follow some of like the employees and players and stuff. So it's like a really weird mishmash. You don't know if you're going to like an episode or not. So it's one of those like, give it two or three episodes. They're each like 25 minutes and you'll find something you like and then get hooked. I tried to get Julia into it. She has no interest. So you got to watch it, Chris, so I can talk to you about it.
I got to watch it.
My parents loved it. Anyone over 60 out there, that's a good endorsement.
Kat and I are currently doing Breaking Bad and One Tree Hill at the same time.
Nice. Oh, we just started Malcolm in the Middle. Julia's seen it like four times, like all the way through. And I've seen it like on TV reruns and stuff, but I've never like actually watched it. So
that's kind of
that's what we're binging right now.
My experience with it is probably akin to yours. Where like I used to watch it when it was in syndication. Like I'd throw on a couple episodes, you know, but
It's truly peak Frankie Muniz. And then whatever his spy thing was like the last great thing he did. Yeah, that was like the last good thing he did.
I don't know of many other things that he did. So
he was a child actor.
He goes to Coyotes games. I guess he lives in Arizona. So
we should have him on.
That'd be cool.
And him and Kat can talk Yotes.
Yeah, shoot the shit about the Yotes. Maybe even have Corey and Richie on.
Yeah. He should just go on Corey and Richie's podcast and they have Kat on. All right. Any final words of wisdom?
Wherever you're going, light the path and walk that path. And upon that path, you will be.
And if you don't light it, then you're just stuck in the darkness. All right. To all those stuck in the darkness, cheers. Thanks for listening. Hopefully you're just like laying in bed at 2 a.m. listening to this and you are stuck in the darkness. Actually, I don't hope that. But if you are, I hope we were soothed you to sleep by now. I'm just going to end it.